morning, I'm going to ask Brother Daniel Trantham, pastors of Setzer's Creek Baptist Church in Lenore, and I appreciate Brother Daniel being part of camp meeting. He and his family, they usually camp over here. They're not doing that this year, but they're part of this meeting. And it's been several years since you preached here at camp meeting. Lord, touch my heart. I want you to listen to him. Here, don't you sit there and just look at him. You help him preach. Amen. They'll run the light for you.
Well, it is a privilege to be here this morning, be in these services. The past 2 weeks have been a blessing. And every service, every preacher has encouraged me and my family and has fed us, and I am thankful for it. Have your Bibles, if you would turn with us to the Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Mark chapter number 6. We will begin our reading this morning in verse number 7 and read through verse number 12. The Bible says in verse 7, he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only. No scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. He said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. Whatsoever and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Verse 12 says, and they went out and preached that men should repent. I want to focus in verse number 8 this morning. The Lord giving instructions to these disciples as he sends them out, he says, the Bible says, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save their staff only. Save their staff only. Our Lord in the text is setting up a pattern that he will follow again in Luke's gospel as he sends out the 70 disciples. Also in the same manner as two of them going together with little possessions in their hand, nothing going with them. He will send them out to be his witnesses amongst those places, those towns, those dwellings. Our Lord knows that sending these groups out will reach further than he will be able to get to himself. And their testimonies that they will go with will do a lot of good for the gospel. These men are going to have to go, and they're going to have to describe who it is that they are following after. I can hear maybe Levi and his partner, Matthew and, and his partner as they go out. I can hear that tax collector as he comes to some dwelling and bids that he might make an entry there. I can hear as he says, I want to tell you about the one that I'm following. He's different than any other man that I've ever met. I was a tax collector. I was sitting at a table and I was doing my business. I was doing my thing, but Jesus came by. He spoke to me as no man had ever spoke. And he said, follow me. And I gave up everything and just began to follow him. I can hear Philip say, I didn't even believe that anything good could come out of Nazareth. I was sitting on a hillside under a tree. Somebody came and told me about Jesus. Shortly thereafter, Jesus himself showed up where I was at and spoke to me. And I gave up all and followed him. I can hear the testimonies of Peter and James and John and how they followed him and left all. And this would be a way to promote the gospel, to promote Christ, and for them to begin to spread their wings in ministry. In chapter number 4, we learn of how little faith they had. Matter of fact, Jesus says that they had no faith in the midst of the storm. They doubted if he even cared for them. So this trip, this journey, will also be a faith-building exercise. They're going to have to do what you and I must do. They're going to have to see that Jesus really is the only thing that they need. They don't need anything else. If they've got Jesus, they've got enough. But I'm interested as we see them sent off, what Jesus tells them. He says, take nothing with thee. You know, if you look back through the Bible, you will find many accounts of people coming to the men of God, coming before the presence of God, taking an inventory of all they have, and just about every time that they do so, you will find them not seeing that they have something. I'm reminded of that widow lady that Elijah went to. She was there gathering sticks to make a cake of bread. She said to the prophet, I'm going to make this cake, and we're going to go in, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to die because there's nothing left in the barrel. I think about Elisha as he dealt with another widow lady. She came and the debt collectors were after her children, after her home, after her livelihood. The man of God said, what do you got in the house? And she said, I have nothing save a little cruse, a small little cruse of oil. I ain't got nothing. These disciples later on in this chapter will remark at the feeding of the 5,000 as they have gathered and amassed that crowd. That crowd, they will come to Jesus and say, hey, can we send them away? There's going to be a fight because we have nothing to feed them. They go through the bank account and they said, hey, if we took all that we had money-wise, we don't have enough to buy to feed such a crowd as gathered here. Another one said, well, we don't have the time. Even if we had the money, we don't have the time. Finally, one of them says, well, we do have a little boy, but he's got a few fishes and a few loaves. And the comment was made, but what is this among so many? It's nothing as you really look at it. We see here Jesus sending out these disciples with nothing. When me and my family, we go to the beach, we go to the coast, we go to the shore, whatever you call it. We go to one of those places. I find that my wife and me, we never go without nothing. Now, I wished we would sometimes, because we go to making our way to the water's edge, and I've about broke my back, and I don't have any joy for that stuff that we've brought with us. I mean, sometimes I'd like for Miss Lana to say we're going on a trip and you don't need to take nothing with you. I'd rejoice over that. But I don't know that I'd want to go into these circumstances with nothing. And if you focus on the nothing here, you'll miss the something that God's provided you. I want to preach on this staff only. Save this staff only. I want to talk about the significance of this staff, the significance of this instrument that they carry. The land in which they would travel was harsh and hard. They would need something to help navigate that area. They'd need something to help them to make the steep climbs and the downward grades. They'd need something for them to wade through maybe deep waters that they might test the depth before they take the next step. They need something if they step off into swift current that they might grab a hold of something beneath the water that they could stand the pull that was coming against them. That's all practical in our thinking, but that's a significant instrument to these men. This area that they're traveling in Psalms 23, we understand that there are dark valleys, places where visibility is greatly decreased. I wonder if they, as they travel through these type of conditions, that staff would help them to go in safety and not fall off some cliff somewhere, not stumble up and fall down. Maybe in those dark places, it would act as eyes for those things that they could not see. It would be a discerning rod in their life. It's a significant instrument, those things that the Lord gives you to take in your journey. I tell you, as I think about this meeting, I would have to say this meeting has been a significant staff in my life. Practically, it has been. It's been useful to a preacher to gather up on a hot hillside and hear the Word of God preached by other men. It's ministered to me. It's kept me probably out of some deep waters that would have towed me under. It's kept me from slipping up on some hillsides, some things that I've heard here, how the Lord has ministered to us. Lord may not give you everything. They're not toting suitcases into their journey with them. They don't have everything. But what they do have, it sure does matter. It's a significant instrument. I think about the two gentlemen that would be grouped together and how they probably relied upon each other's staff. You think about making those steep steps that they might have made, or the potential of falling down a steep hill, and how maybe the one would reach to the other with his staff to pull him along. You think about as they waded through water, maybe one would get caught up and wouldn't get his staff planted, but the other one could reach out and have a greater reach than his hand by way of a staff. It'd be a help to their brothers, their yoke fellows, their fellow laborers in this ministry. What the Lord gives you and me, though it doesn't seem like much sometimes to us, is a great help maybe to those that serve around us. It may save their life. It may help them in their journey. It may be a resource that they need. So don't get all self-centered and think it's about you. Sometimes what the Lord gives you may be to the help of someone else. It's a significant instrument to these men as they journey. But I would say it's a significant illustration tool. A significant illustration tool. I know you other men never have this to happen, but sometimes on Monday morning, I'm at a loss of what I'm going to preach the coming Sunday. I need help. Matter of fact, I have a place there at the church that contains all kinds of things to render me aid as I navigate through the text, places I draw from. These men, they have nothing with them. They don't have any money. They don't have any food. They don't have any little bag of tricks to carry along with them. All they've got is each other and a staff. That's a significant illustration. I wonder as they traveled town to town, place to place, home to home, village to village, these places would operate off the telling of what was going on in another region. That's how they found out what was going on in the world around them. I wonder if they ever might be journeying and say, you know, I think I've just about wore my testimony out. I've said all that I can say. I think I'm disinterested in telling what's going on with me and Jesus. Maybe the other one would say, well, you know, those verses that we had early on, they really burned in my heart, but I tell you, I need something fresh, something alive, something made alive in my heart. I wonder if they might have been holding on to those staves and it just comes to. First time a staff is mentioned is in the book of Genesis chapter number 32. Yes, Jacob's worried about meeting his brother Esau. He's using his staff to divide his possession that he might pay off and get forgiveness from Esau. You know the story. He's going along, he's worried, he's nervous, he's dividing his possessions, and he's using his staff to point out what's going to Esau, what he's going to keep. You know how it goes. He's going along, he sends his possession, his family on ahead of him. He stays back because he's nervous about who he's going to meet the next day. He should have been far more concerned about who he's going to meet that night. The Bible tells us that he met not his brother, but he met the God of heaven. He met the heavenly Father. And we're told there in the text that God touched his side. From that day on, that staff that he had used to make appeasement in his mind to his brother would become what he depends on and would be a constant reminder of who God is. I can see. I can see him, Jacob, in his later years. Grand youngins around the house. Grand youngins being how grand youngins are. Why don't we get Papaw's stick? Why don't we get that staff? We'll hide it from him. We'll play a joke. I can hear Jacob speak up. Don't touch that. You can touch anything else in the house. Don't touch that. God gave me that. I'm dependent upon that. That's a constant reminder of where I was at, the condition I was in when the Lord found me and touched my life. I can think of another man that had a staff that they might think of. I can think of Moses. Moses, you know, he was a shepherd on the backside of the desert. He gave up the palaces of Egypt. Lived as a shepherd. The Bible tells me that he was following a sheep. One sheep turns away. He runs into God. Amen. That staff that he had used becomes an instrument in his life. Oftentimes, the Lord would use that rod that he used. His stick was different than all the other sticks in the Bible, though. His stick, it doesn't do like any staff I've ever had. It sprouted forth in life. Could I remind you, all you are is a dead stick brought forth to life. I can think maybe as they think about King David, they get to thinking about Psalms 23, holding that staff in their hand, and what a comfort it has been in their journey. They get to thinking, hey, the Lord's my shepherd. He sent me out this way. He sent me to tell others about him. This staff has guided me, just as David said, the staff of the Lord had guided and comforted him.
Amen.
This staff is a significant illustration to their ministry. It helps them. You got anything you look to that helps you know who God is in your life? Anything you look to that helps you get centered? Find the words that you need and the times that you need them. Significant illustration. I believe they had this staff and it became to them a significant imagination. Imagination. You say, preacher, I don't know that we need to be imagining things. Well, God gave you imagination. That's part of who God is. This imagination. I wonder, go with me for just a moment if you would. Go with me to that home that they come to, that little village. They make their introduction, who they are, who they've come to tell them about. And suddenly, man throws up his hands and says, now wait just a minute. You said you come representing a man named Jesus. You told us that God said of this man at the river that he was his son in whom he is well pleased. You told us that John had spoke of this man and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You've told us that. Could we tell you we've already heard something about this man? You must also be shepherds. No. We're fishermen. We're tax collectors. We're followers of Christ. We're not shepherds. Well, that's funny because a few years ago, there were some shepherds came by our way. And they kept talking about how they were keeping their flocks by night in a little town of Bethlehem. And suddenly, all of heaven opened up to them and told them to go in to Bethlehem and said that they would find their salvation laid in a manger wrapped in a swaddling clothes. Those men look a lot like you do. And we'd like to know who you're talking about. We'd like to know what he's been doing since then. They began to tell them what all Jesus has been up to. That name that they've been hearing in the town going around is the same man that they heard about all those years ago. That man that they hear about in the town is the same man that the Bible has been speaking of all along. Significant imagination.
Amen.
Could I tell you, we hear about a staff one last time in the Bible. Hebrews 11:22. You don't think that Jacob loved his staff. It was the last thing he reached for in the midst of his worship. The Bible says, putting his hand to the head of his staff, Jacob leaned up and worshiped. In this day of us having everything, sometimes when the Lord reduces us to nothing, we will miss the something he's given us. He's given us a staff.